The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, salam, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, wherever you are. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah on the program. Today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about thinking well of Allah.
I never thought about things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you, until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now alone, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Monday, is the 27th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At first, let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-Ahzab, verses 10 to 11.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذ جاءوكم من فوقكم ومن أسفل منكم وإذ زاغت الأبصار وبلغت القلوب الحناجر وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَا.
Remember when they came at you from above you and from below you, and when eyes shifted in fear and hearts reached the throats, and you assumed about Allah various assumptions.
هنالك ابتلي المؤمنون وزلزلوا زلزالا شديدا.
There the believers were tested and shaken with a severe shaking.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
This holy verse illustrates the dangerous situation of the Battle of Ahzab, the great power of the enemy's army, and the intensive anxiety of a lot of Muslims. It implicitly says that you may remember when the enemies entered your city from above you and from below you and surrounded Medina, and when the eyes swerved because of fear and the hearts reached to the throats. And you imagine badly about Allah with diverse thoughts. As you know, in this series of today's special, we're speaking about thinking well of Allah. So what does it mean to think well of Allah? It means to take that step. When you mess up, even if we messed up in a major way, we return to Him recognizing that what we did was truly horrible. But we ask for His forgiveness because we know He is that forgiving and that His mercy encompasses everything. When we mess up again and again and feel sick of ourselves, we return to Him with a sincere dua or supplication to help us stop, knowing that He will respond. It means having grand hopes and aspirations and working towards them, knowing that Allah the Almighty will not allow to be lost the reward of any who did well in deeds. That was in the Holy Quran, chapter 18, verse 30.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified brethren. This is your host, Ali, and we are with you with a new topic, inshallah, to discuss with each other. The topic that we want to discuss it today is having full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is in Islamic terms called husnul dhann billah. Allama Majlisi rahmatullah alayhi, in explaining the meaning of trust in Allah, he writes that this concept itself, having full trust in Allah, means, he enumerates list of actions here, that this means this and this and this and this. He actually enumerates 5 points in order to define husnul dhanna billah, that is, full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, if you want to know what husnul dhanna billah is, having full trust to Allah means, when asking for forgiveness, one should be optimistic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. Second, if you want to know what husnul dhanna billah is, this is the second way to understand what it is. When a person repents and returns to God, he should know that God will accept his repentance. The third point that he wants to introduce and define this husnul dhanna billah, he says that when he prays to God with truth and sincerity, he should know that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. And four, again, the late Allama Majlisi says, if you want to know what husnul dhanna billah is, this is the fourth way to understand what husnul dhanna billah, or having full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means. He says, when a servant of God asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sufficiency and help in his work, he should know that Allah will suffice him. Because these attributes do not appear except through good faith and full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fifth way that the late Allama Majlisi wants to introduce us this concept of husnul dhanna billah, that is, having full trust in Allah, he says that when a person does something for Allah, for the sake of God, he should know that God accepts it. So this, in this way, the late Allama Majlisi defines that what husnul dhanna billah is. So we have to trust whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
From the ways to get closer to Allah at home, we can name prayer. The success that we see calls us 5 times a day. The Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family said, the first thing which will be judged among a man's deed on the day of resurrection is the prayer. If this is in good order, then he will succeed and prosper. But if it is defective, then he will fail and will be a loser. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family used to pray so much at night that his feet became swollen. It was said to him, why do you regulate yourself with this? To that he replied, shall I not be a grateful servant of Allah? Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 Allah, Allahu, 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 we're speaking about think well of Allah, and one of its branches is when embarking on something difficult, even if we fail. When the most beloved person to Allah, the Prophet, was thinking of immigrating to Medina, he started talking to all of the different tribes that came for Hajj in the hopes that one of them would accept Islam, or at least offer the believers protection. He spoke to 26 different tribes and was rejected by all of them. Some of the tribes even cursed and mocked him. Let's stop here. He made da'wah, that means calling to Islam, to 26 tribes. Can you imagine the feeling of being rejected by 5? What would happen after 10 rejected you? How low would your morale be? When would you have given up? Finally, he met a few youth from Medina who believed in his message. He did not despair because he had a good opinion of Allah, which motivated him. He knew Allah would not leave him.
There is a very powerful and interesting hadith narration in the book of Kafi, which is one of our most authentic books, that offers an amazing glimpse into the world of Allah's mercy. In this narration, Ibn Abi Ya'fur, one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, I narrate this hadith from Abi Abdullah al-Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he narrates this hadith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that this narration is a hadith Qudsi. What is a hadith Qudsi? A hadith Qudsi is the word of Allah, just like the Quran, but it's not included in the Quran. All the direct statements of God, which are not part of the Quran, are referred to as hadith Qudsi. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning this hadith. And truly this hadith, when we analyze it and we explore it, we come to realize the amazing greatness of Allah's mercy. It is truly mind-boggling. It offers you a small glimpse into that everlasting world of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith, what does he say? He starts the hadith by saying, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ مِنْ عَبِيدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, one of my believing servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens this narration by making a reference to his servants who are believers. Allah is indicating in this hadith that the single most important factor that determines how much mercy I receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my iman, is the faith that I have, is the belief that I have.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special under the title of Thinking Well of Allah. That's a nice topic, so inshallah we're going to continue to discuss about it. So be with us. We leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is another thought-provoking saying for our guidance from the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Live among the people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you. And if you're alive, they crave for your company.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith and narration which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is regarding leniency in selling and buying, when conducting a transaction, being lenient with the customer and not being too hard on them, or vice versa. When you're selling something, being lenient on the customer, when you're buying something on the owner of the product you wish to buy it from, not being too hard on them, not pestering them, and so on and so forth. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "May Allah bestow mercy on someone who is liberal when he sells, when he buys." And then the Prophet continued to include other cases as well. He said, when he judges and when he is judged. This is a very good prophetic practice. For people who are tradesmen, businessmen, or, they're selling something or wish to buy something from the market, it's good to, follow this prophetic practice. In the same vein, Imam Ali alayhi salam said something. Imam Ali alayhi salam was once admonished a man who was selling something and told him, "I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, leniency is one way to profit. As-samahu wajhum min ar-ribah." Right? Being lenient with the customer is actually one way to profit. If we're too hard on the customer and we're not lenient, the customer, let's say that he wants to haggle the price, wants to bring down the price, And we're not lenient with that, right? Eventually, the customer will be turned away from us and we won't make any profit at all, right? So being lenient is something good here and it benefits both parties. Right? So this is one of the things that all of us should adopt. In a similar fashion, of course, this doesn't mean that, we should try to bargain and these kind of things for all, things and in all cases. For example, Ali alayhi salam once said, "Bargain even for 2 dirhams, as he who is wronged is neither praised nor is he rewarded." Right? If it's somebody is cheating you, yeah, then you should kind of bargain and haggle with the seller. Right, but if it's nothing, if it, the seller is selling you something at a reasonable price, right, then there's no need to bargain. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Ali, do not bargain for 4 things: when selling the sacrificial animal for the obligatory pilgrimage, the shroud, the servant, and the transportation to Mecca." Right, so there's some certain limitations or certain boundaries for bargaining. Which we shouldn't cross over and shouldn't pass over. Obviously, these are things which have been elucidated and elaborated on in the books of fiqh and jurisprudence. And, the details of the obligatory, prohibited, recommended transactions and so on and so forth, these should be taken up there. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at leniency in buying and selling in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل. قم الليل إلا قليلا. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا. أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك. يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على
محمد
وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International Schools. Here we have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, right?
Yes.
And Hussein Ruhullah, yeah?
Yes.
And Brother Ali Nasir. So I really welcome you all here in this session. Welcome. And salam, how are you? Good, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine.
Yes.
That's great. So brothers and sisters, as you're listening to us, inshallah, in this session, again, we're going to hold a very important Quranic session for you. Inshallah, we'll be explaining, as previous sessions, we'll be explaining, inshallah, some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then we'll be working on the Tajweed rules. And we will be reciting and practicing, inshallah, these verses with Tajweed rules. So, inshallah, in this session, the ayah, or the verse that we are going to work on, is ayah 41 of Surah Al-Baqarah. I want you to turn to page 7, inshallah, and Surah Al-Baqarah. Ayah or verse number 41. Before we start,
Let's listen to this ayah. So, I will be, inshallah, reciting. Make sure you listen and repeat, all right? Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به
وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به
ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون
ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. In the previous session, in the previous ayah, ayah 40, Allah Almighty was talking to Bani Israel, right? Actually, the scholars of Bani Israel, okay? Not all the people. So the scholars are actually the important parts of society. So in this ayah as well, Allah Almighty talks to them, okay? And commands them something. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ Okay? And believe. Okay, have faith in what I have sent down. Okay, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ confirming that which is with you, among you. Okay, you should confirm it. What, for example, the book that they have, Tawrat. Okay, and the teachings of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the other prophets that they had already. Okay, Allah Almighty says, confirm them. And also believe in what I have sent down. What has Allah Almighty recently had sent? The Quran.
Quran.
Yes? Yeah, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, and then Allah Almighty says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ Okay? And do not be the first ones to refuse or to deny or to disbelieve in it. In what? And what I have sent down in the Quran, okay? وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا And do not sell my signs for a tiny or little things to gain, okay? For very low cost, okay? Understood? Do not sell or exchange my signs or Quran Kareem or Iman, belief, okay? Do not exchange your beliefs, okay, with little things that you have in the dunya, okay? In this world. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ And be wary of me. It means fear only from me, okay? So, this ayah has important messages. That one of the important message is this, that we have to, first and foremost, one of the very easiest way to know Allah Almighty is to look at His creation. The creatures that He has created all around us, and to believe in them. Okay? When we look at the creatures of Allah Almighty, of course, they tell us, they are the signs of Allah Almighty. They tell us that these things around you are not created without a creator. Okay? So it has, there is, of course, a creator, someone who has created, a power who has created. Okay? A person, or not a person, okay? A power. An existent, okay? Who has the power, who has the knowledge, who has the wisdom to create things properly and manage them well, okay? So there is such a person, okay? Or such a power.
So that power is called Allah Almighty. Okay? So this way we believe. Quran Kareem was one of the signs of Allah Almighty's existence. Okay? And also the other books, the prophets, all the prophets from Prophet Adam alayhi salam to our prophet and all the imams were claiming that they were sent by one God. Huh? The same God.
Yes.
It was not like this that Prophet Musa comes and says that I was sent from that God and Prophet Isa alayhi salam says I was sent from the other God. No, they were all sent down by one Allah Almighty. And they were all claiming this. Huh? This shows that, of course, they were one. It doesn't mean that like for 7,000 years, for example. So all of them had managed this with themselves. Okay, hey, you gotta say, okay, that I was sent from that prophet. By that, I was sent down by that Allah Almighty. Or I was appointed, okay, by that God. They didn't manage this between themselves, okay? That we should say this among people, okay? No, Allah Almighty really did this. It was Allah Almighty who sent down, okay? Who appointed those prophets. And we have to believe. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ Okay? And yes. Also it tells us that we shouldn't be, we, those who, actually the scholars. If the scholars are disbelievers, you know that the society easily will disbelieve in things.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So scholars, those who are knowledgeable, they are very important. Okay. The role that they play in the society.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So, inshallah. وَآمِنُوا. Make sure it has a long sound. Let's talk about the tajweed rules here, okay? وَآمِنُوا. Both long sounds, okay? Long vowel sounds. آمِنُوا. وَآمِنُوا. Do not say aminu. Wa aminu. Believe. It is an order. Command. Bima. Alif mad. Plus. The next word starts with hamza. Mad should be applied here. But is it wajib or jayiz?
Jayiz.
Jayiz. Yes. Because the alif mad and hamza are in separate words. Not in the same words. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ نُون ساكين plus زا. What rule is applied?
إخفى.
إخفى. Why? Because زا
is from the
rest of the letters, not amongst throat letters, not amongst يرمنون letters, or the letter با. It's not with the letter با. So it's just from the rest of the letters. How do you apply the rule إخفى? You hide it, yeah? Hide the noon sound. How do you hide it?
Yes.
Look, I'm saying noon. Yeah, that's it. Simple as that.
Yes.
وَآمِنُوا بِمَا Yes?
Yes.
It's very easy. Okay. Hussein, say it. وَآمِنُوا.
وَآمِنُوا بِمَا
Make sure your lips go down. Close your mouth. Close the door, okay? وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ All right? أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا 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 تَنْوِين فَتْحَة plus next word starts with لام تَنْوِين فَتْحَة تَنْوِين actually تَنْوِين plus لام
إِدْغَام
لام is from يرملون letters, yes?
Yes.
Idgham with gunna or without?
Without.
Let me see how Ali Nasir applies the rule idgham without gunna here.
Musaddiqan lima.
Isn't it musaddiqan lima?
No.
No, it's not, yes?
No, yeah.
Musaddiqan lima. First, just go. Fast, not furious, okay? Just go fast. So, musaddiqan lima, right? Yeah. مَعَكُمْ وَلَا A lot of students recite it this way. Walatakunu. Make sure it is not walatakunu. Okay, it has an alif. They think that that's only lam, but that's lam with alif.
Yeah.
Lam, alif, la. Right? Wala takunu. Nu. All right, takunu. Both long vowels. Awwala kafirim bi. Aha, kafirin. Tanween. And plus
ba.
So what rule is applied?
Iqlab.
Iqlab. All right, Fawad, mashallah. How do you apply the rule Iqlab?
You change ba to mim?
No. Change tanween. Ah, we change tanween to a half mim sound. Kafirin bih. Bih. Okay, make sure. You were reciting bih. It's not bih. Bih. E sound, not A sound. All right?
Yeah, it's all.
Okay.
Yes.
وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا تَنْوِين plus قَاف. Rest of the letters, إِخْفَى, right? ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا قَلِيلًا تَنْوِين plus وَال.
إِدْغَام
قَلِيلًا وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. That was all about Tajweed rules in this ayah, inshallah. I hope you've learned something and make sure you practice. And for the explanation, make sure you refer to the interpretations of the Quran Kareem, the Tafasir book, okay? Books, and make sure you practice and learn more. That's it. If you have any question, guys, nothing?
No.
So that was all from us for today. See you, inshallah, in the coming session. Stay with us, please. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. See you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك
As you were previously with us, dear listeners, we have reached this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته. Glory be to you, my Allah. Can't you see yourself that yours is the praise, hearing within the fire of hell the voice of a slave surrendered to you, imprisoned there because of his violations, وَلَا قَطَعْمَ عَذَابِهَا بِمَعْسِيَتِهِ, suffering the pangs of its torment because of his disobedience, وَحُبِسَ بَيْنَ أَطْبَاقِهَا بِجُرْمِهِ وَجَرِيرَتِهِ, confined within its levels because of his sins and crime, وَهُوَ يَضِجُّ إِلَيْكَ ضَجِيجَ مُؤَمِّلٍ لِرَحْمَتِكَ, yet he is lamenting before you with the lamentation of the one hopeful for your mercy. We said that Imam Ali alayhi salam is emphasizing on the importance of the role of sins and the role they play in our lives and specifically in our hereafter. And of course, we need to be aware of that role, and yet we should not be hopeless. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, the Holy Quran says. And this is persistence in supplicating to God, asking Him for forgiveness, because He is the owner of vast ocean of mercy. Now, in the previous episode, we mentioned that one of the important factors that cause the obscurity of the heart, and as a result, act as an impediment to the acceptance of supplication and dua, is committing sins. The Islamic narrations assert that this is a very significant factor, committing sins, that causes the alienation of the heart from Allah. Regarding the sins, Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, "No, indeed, rather their hearts have been sullied by what they have been earning." So this verse, as you can see, dear listeners, is implying that the sins that are done and committed by a person, they stay in the heart until they become dirt on the heart, and they cut the heart off from Allah. So the role of sins is this, that they invert the heart. Man commits sins until his heart is cut off from Allah. And if the heart is disconnected from Allah, it gets inverted. It becomes upside down. It loses all of its operative features. But still, there is one exception. The one who is a true repentant and is hopeful of the Almighty Allah's mercy. وَهُوَ يَضِجُّ إِلَيْكَ ضَجِيجَ مُؤَمِّلٍ لِرَحْمَتِكَ. This kind of lamentation is not of any kind. It is the kind of lament of the one hopeful for Almighty Allah's mercy.
My Lord, glory and praise be to you. Would you disregard the voice of a Muslim slave imprisoned in hell for his disobedience and imprisoned within its pits for his evil doings and misdeeds, crying out to you the cries of one who has faith in your mercy and calling out to you in the language of those who believe in your unity and seeking to approach you by means of your epithet.
Thank you, Allah, God, that we're here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua. Let us have a look at one tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said, "My father used to say, nothing is more destroying for the heart than the sin it commits. The heart indeed engages in a battle with the sin, and the sin continues to remain in it until it overpowers the heart. Hence, it becomes turned upside down." He, alayhi salam, is also reported to have said, "When a person commits a sin, a black spot appears in the heart. If he repents of it, it disappears. But if he persists in committing that sin, that spot becomes bigger and bigger until it overcomes the whole heart. And if such happens, then he would never become victorious after this." One of the other aspects that I assume needs to be discussed is the fact that committing sins somehow deprive the man of the sweetness of remembrance. The believing hearts experience sweetness in remembrance of Almighty Allah, in dhikr of Allah. A sweetness that if you ask him, above which there is no sweetness. But when the heart becomes turned upside down, it is deprived of this sweetness. The heart no longer is able to receive this sweetness because it has lost its operative features. Just like an ill person whose physical health has been inverted by illness. As a result, he loses the appetite for good things, not because they're not good anymore, but because he has no desire for them. This is the exact thing that applies to the heart. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page.
Welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh, for today's discussion, we want to talk about a very controversial topic, and it is, does Satan have offspring or any children? I mean, is Satan able at all to reproduce or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We know that the Satan who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prostrating before Adam and Eve is called Iblis.
Yes.
And somehow he's the forefather of this generation of shayateen, the Satans. And he is from one of the jinns. He was not one of the angels. He's one of the jinns. And we know that jinns, like human beings, are able to reproduce. So the very fact that shaitan or Satan is from the jinn proves that he might have some offsprings and children. But there are two verses in the Noble Book of Quran which also confirm the same reality, the fact that Satan has offsprings and children. At least there are two verses in this regard. One of them is chapter Al-An'am, verse 112, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا. And thus did we make for every prophet an enemy, شياطين الإنس والجن, the Satans from among men and jinn. يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض ذخرف القول غرورا. Some of them suggesting to others a varnished falsehood to deceive them. Now in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about shayateen, which is the plural form of shaitan, that is the Satans from human beings and jinn. So it might be understood from the verse that then we need to have multiple Satans. So yes, there are children for the Satan.
Okay.
But more clear than this verse is another verse which reads, أَعْضُ بِلَهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is chapter Al-Kahf, verse 50. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَعْضُ بِلَهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. And when we said to the angels, prostrate before Adam, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ, all of them accepted except for Iblis. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was one of the jinn, so he transgressed the commandment of his Lord. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي. What, would you then take him and his offspring for friends rather than me? وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ. And they are your enemies. بَئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. Evil is the change for the unjust. Now, in this verse, we have a very explicit term, dhurriya, which has been mentioned regarding
the
Satan.
The offspring.
Iblis. Yeah,
yes.
The offspring of Satan, which means that for sure Satan has some offspring, children.